From myths to models to madness. Annoying AI talking about interesting things.
Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody. Today's deep dive is going to be a fascinating one. We're taking a look at digital fashion innovations.
Ooh, very cool.
We got a whole bunch of sources to work with, academic articles about the digital fashion industry itself, and then a conference paper focusing on marketing in this space. And we even have a really interesting scholarly article all about virtual influencers and the cultural side of this.
It's amazing how much this is all blowing up right now.
Yeah, I mean, fashion has always been about pushing boundaries, but this is a whole new level. So let's jump right in. First things first, how do we even define digital fashion? I feel like it's got to be a lot more than just, you know, using computers to design clothes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's not just about replacing your sketchbook with some fancy software. It's a whole ecosystem, really.
Mm-hmm.
Think about 3D design programs, of course, but also things like social media marketing and trend forecasting. Algorithms are already designing clothes, and blockchain is being used to increase supply chain transparency. It's really remarkable.
Wow. So digital fashion is kind of like the whole behind-the-scenes Team AD The Runway Show all rolls into one. That's really interesting. One thing that I kept seeing when I was doing research for this was the term sustainable fast fashion. And I'm like, wait, how can you have something that's both trendy and fast-moving, but also good for the environment? It seems kind of counterintuitive.
Right. It sounds like an oxymoron at first. But then you learn about on-demand manufacturing and it starts to click. So basically, you order a piece of clothing online, and only then do they actually make it using digital designs and automated production.
So there aren't tons of clothes just sitting in warehouses going to waste.
Exactly. That really could revolutionize the whole fast fashion system.
Okay, so you're telling me I can have my cake and eat it too. That's amazing. All right, so we've got to talk about virtual influencers. They're everywhere these days.
Seriously, and they're getting more and more realistic. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. Our case study for today is Emma. She's a Japanese virtual influencer, and she's done some seriously impressive work.
She's worked with huge brands like Porsche and IKEA. It just goes to show the marketing power that these virtual figures have.
That's right. I mean, she blurs the line between what's virtual and what's real.
Yeah.
Especially in the age of social media.
It's like something out of science fiction, but it's happening right now in front of our eyes.
And speaking of science fiction, our sources mentioned this thing called the Uncanny Valley, which is something I've always found super interesting. Can you explain what that is and why people are talking about it in relation to virtual influencers?
Sure. So the Uncanny Valley is this unsettling feeling we get when something looks almost human, but not quite right. You know, it's a little too perfect or something's just a bit off. And with virtual humans becoming so realistic, we're starting to bump up against that uncanny valley more and more.
Right. And I imagine that can be a bit unnerving for some people, especially when you think about the implications.
Absolutely. I mean, some people are worried about AI taking jobs away from humans, like modeling or influencer marketing.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to consider there, for sure. Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about the metaverse. How does all of this digital fashion stuff fit into this whole virtual world concept?
Well, think of the metaverse as like this massive interconnected network of digital spaces. And within these spaces, people can create avatars and express themselves in all sorts of ways through digital fashion.
So you could have an avatar that's totally different from how you look in real life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You could be whoever you want. And the technology is getting really advanced, too. Some platforms are even using 3D body scanning to create super realistic avatars.
Wow, that's incredible. So it's like a digital playground for fashion, basically.
Exactly. There are no limits to what you can create or wear.
But it's not just limited to the virtual world, right? I mean, this whole digital fashion movement is impacting the real world, too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. For example, we're starting to see these phygital garments, which are basically physical clothes with cool embedded electronics.
So it's like the lines between physical and digital fashion are becoming more and more blurred.
Exactly. And the market for this stuff is expected to explode in the next few years. Like, we're talking billions of dollars.
Wow. That's pretty huge. Okay, so we've talked about the technology and the impact, but let's get into the cultural side of things. This scholarly article we read introduced this really intriguing concept called semiotic immateriality. Can you help us understand what that means exactly?
It sounds complicated, but it's actually pretty straightforward. It's basically the idea that virtual fashion is selling us both immaterial things like digital aesthetics and material things like cultural ideas or even stereotypes.
Okay, so it's not just about the pixels on the screen.
Yeah.
It's about the deeper meaning and the messages that those pixels convey.
Exactly. And it raises some important questions about representation and who gets to control those messages.
That's really interesting. Can you give us an example of how this plays out in the real world? Like maybe using Emma as a case study.
Sure. So think about how Emma embodies certain ideas about Japanese-ness through her appearance, her behavior, and even the environments she's shown in. This makes us wonder if virtual influencers, even unintentionally, might be spreading cultural stereotypes.
That's a really good point. It's like they're not just selling clothes. They're selling a whole cultural image.
And that image might not always be accurate or representative of the actual culture.
And our article took it a step further by talking about this concept of digital orientalism.
Right. And this links back to the long history of Western media romanticizing and exoticizing Eastern cultures. In Emma's case, some Western media portray her as this hypermodern, almost futuristic symbol of Japanese culture.
But that's not necessarily how all Japanese people see themselves, right?
Exactly. It's a reminder that we need to be critical of the media we consume and think about who's creating it and what their agenda might be.
Yeah, it's important to be aware of those power dynamics, especially when it comes to representation. So this whole discussion about cultural representation really makes you wonder who gets to define a culture in the digital space. Where things are so fluid and constantly changing, it's a really complex issue.
It definitely is. And it's something we need to be thinking about more and more as the metaverse and virtual worlds become more mainstream.
All right, so let's talk about how these platforms are actually attracting shoppers. I mean, what are they doing to make the experience so appealing?
Well, one thing that's really interesting is their focus on interactivity, personalization, and sociability. Mm. They're really trying to create these immersive shopping experiences.
So it's not just about buying clothes. It's about the whole experience of discovery and self-expression.
Exactly. And they're using all sorts of innovative features to achieve that.
That's fascinating. Yeah. All right, well, let's dive into those specific features and how they impact shopper behavior.
It's about making it feel like more than just clicking add to cart, you know?
Yeah, totally. Okay, so let's break it down. You mentioned interactivity. What kind of interactive elements are we talking about here?
Well, imagine being able to like virtually touch different fabrics or zoom in to see the stitching up close or even customize a garment to your exact specifications. It's about giving shoppers a sense of agency and control.
It's like the difference between just looking at a dress online and being able to actually try it on in a store, right?
Exactly. The more senses you can engage, the more real and immersive the experience becomes.
And then there's personalization. How are these platforms using that to enhance the shopping experience?
They're using data and algorithms to tailor recommendations to each individual shopper. So they might suggest styles based on your past purchases or offer virtual styling advice.
So it's like having a personal stylist right there in the metaverse. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and some platforms are even creating avatars that look just like you.
Oh, wow. So you can literally see yourself wearing the clothes.
Yeah.
That's taking personalization to a whole new level.
And then, of course, there's the social aspect of it all.
Right. Because what's the point of having a killer outfit if you can't show it off?
Exactly. So these platforms are incorporating features like virtual fashion shows, online communities, and ways to share your looks with friends.
So it's about building a community around fashion and shared interests.
Right. It's about connecting with other people who are passionate about style and self-expression.
And our paper mentioned that these social aspects are especially appealing to younger generations.
Yeah, they've grown up with social media, so they're used to interacting and expressing themselves online.
But the paper also pointed out that things like age, gender, and education can affect how people respond to these virtual environments.
That's an important point. For example, someone who's not as tech savvy might find it harder to navigate these platforms or might not be as interested in the interactive elements.
Right. It's all about understanding your target audience and designing experiences that cater to their specific needs and preferences.
Definitely. It's a balancing act, but the potential is huge.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about what digital fashion is, how it's impacting the real world and the metaverse, and we've even touched on some of the cultural implications and ethical considerations.
It's amazing how much there is to unpack with this topic. It really is a whole new world.
It really is. And it's evolving so quickly, it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, it's like every day there's something new and exciting happening in the digital fashion space.
Okay, so before we wrap up, I wanted to touch on something that really got me thinking. Our article talked about how virtual humans are becoming incredibly lifelike. Some are even using real people's biological data to create these hyper-realistic avatars. And it made me wonder what happens when our physical bodies basically become data points for our virtual selves. Especially when it comes to things like virtual fashion and identity. It's kind of a mind-bending thought, isn't it?
It is. It raises all sorts of questions about what it means to be human in a digital age.
Right. Like, what happens to our sense of self when we can create these idealized versions of ourselves online?
And who owns that data? Who controls how it's used?
And are we going to see a future where our virtual identities become more important than our physical ones?
These are big questions that we need to start grappling with now.
Definitely. Because this technology is only going to become more advanced and more integrated into our lives.
That's why it's so important to have these conversations and to think critically about the implications.
Absolutely. Okay, so to all our listeners out there, we leave you with this. As the lines between the physical and digital continue to blur, what role will you play in shaping the future of fashion, identity, and self-expression in this digital age?
Yeah, it's almost like we'll have these digital twins living separate lives in the metaverse.
It's a wild concept for sure. Yeah. And it ties back into what we were discussing before about these platforms and how they're trying to create this experiential value for shoppers.
Oh, right. They talked about the utilitarian and hedonic aspects of the experience.
Exactly. So on the one hand, they want to make the whole process as practical and efficient as possible. Mm. You know, things like easy navigation, search filters, clear size guides, all that good stuff. Right. So even in a virtual world, you still want things to be user friendly.
Absolutely. But then there's the other side, the hedonic aspect, which is all about the pure pleasure and enjoyment of the experience.
So like being able to experiment with crazy styles that you'd never wear in real life or going to a virtual fashion show with your friends.
Exactly. It's about creating a sense of fun and excitement and tapping into that desire for self-expression.
And that's probably a big part of what's attracting younger shoppers to these platforms, right?
Oh, definitely. They're digital natives, so they're totally comfortable in these online spaces.
But our paper mentioned that things like age, gender, and education can also influence how people respond to these virtual environments.
Right. So, for example, someone who's older might not be as familiar with the technology or might not be as interested in the really out there fashion choices.
So these platforms have to find a way to cater to all these different needs and preferences.
It's a challenge for sure. But if they can get it right, the potential is enormous.
Yeah.
It really feels like we're just scratching the surface of what's possible with digital fashion and the metaverse. Pretty exciting stuff.
It is. And it's important to remember that this technology is still in its early stages. There's so much more to come.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive.
It's been a fascinating conversation.
It really has. We've learned so much about the world of digital fashion, from the tech behind it to the cultural implications and the potential impact on the future of the industry.
And we've only just begun to explore the possibilities.
Exactly. So to all our listeners out there, keep those minds curious. And keep exploring the ever-evolving world of digital fashion. Until next time.
Don't ask what AI can do for you. Ask what you can do with AI.
Let's go.
Empower yourself at virtualstorylab.com.